In the past week or so, one of the movie channels has been running a movie that's an all-time favorite of mine, the movie Out of Africa. And there is a wonderful scene in there, and of course it's set in a time when airplanes were not quite as common as they are in our time. But there's a scene in the movie where the main male character lands in a little plane and takes his friend aloft, and they go flying, and she leans over to him and says, when did you learn how to fly? And he says, yesterday. And I thought, I don't know, I wish I'd asked that a little earlier, because I feel like if something is important, I want the person to have always known how to do it. If it's a matter of life and death, I'd like to think that we didn't learn how to do it yesterday. And when I put my life in someone's hands, then I'd like to think, okay, they've been doing this so long, they really know what they're doing. I was thinking about that as I read the gospel, and I started wondering how the disciples felt in this story that we read today, because Jesus seems very unsure of his mission. He says initially that he's only sent to the people of Israel, and you know, then he kind of changes his mind as we go through the story. And here are the disciples witnessing this and hearing it, and they had left everything in their lives to follow him. And then they find out, okay, he's not really all that sure about what he's doing here. He knows that he is called to do something, and it seems that he's a little bit unsure about exactly what that is. Now, in this gospel, there is something that makes the top of my list of things I wish Jesus had never said. He says to a woman with a demon-possessed daughter, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Now, that would bother me if I had said it or if somebody I didn't like said it, but for Jesus to say that just really throws me off. Seeing Jesus in this scene pushes most of us who have to preach on it to do some real theological gymnastics. How could Jesus, the perfect human example of God's love, speak to another human being like that? As I said, I would cringe seeing a regular person do that, much less Jesus. So we make these attempts in our theology, in our tradition, to explain it away. We say, well, the Canaanites, this woman was a Canaanite, the Canaanites were enemies of the Jews, longtime enemies, and so Jesus just naturally responded as a Jew would. Some of the sources say, well, the word he used actually doesn't mean dog so much as it means puppy, so it really wasn't quite as bad. Okay, that doesn't really work for me. I don't want anybody calling me a puppy either. Some say that Jesus had his priorities, and so he had to be real clear and focused and say, I'm sent to the Jews first, and then later deal with everyone else. Some of us say that this is a dramatic way of teaching, that even the most marginalized, like this Canaanite woman, can understand God's ways better than the pious on some occasions. My explanation, at least part of it, is that Jesus was truly human. He was a perfectly obedient human being, but he was fully human. He was trying to sort out his own call. His status as Messiah was very different from the traditional Jewish understanding of that word. So maybe even in this moment, he expanded his own thinking in this story to include all peoples. I say all of this, and yet when I say it, it all seems like nervous, uncomfortable rationalization. We can't really know if this encounter with this woman pushes Jesus to change his understanding of his mission. But here we are in the Gospel of Matthew, and at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the gospel is for all nations. I wonder, did the disciples feel confident in Jesus with this indication that his self-understanding was changing? I ask all these questions. I have struggled more with this passage for preaching than anything in the years I've been preaching. I just struggled and thought, okay, I could preach on Romans or something else. And I think this is a place, these difficult places are the places we need to go as a church. We need to go there first to say, how can we explain this? And the answer that I came up with, or the stance I came up with, is that we don't need to know why Jesus went through this particular progression. We don't have to explain, as a human being who was fully human and fully God, how he knew what he was supposed to do. We don't have to explain and understand what he knew when. We don't have to know how long the pilot had studied. If we're called to trust that we will fly with him, that's what we are supposed to do. And we end up where we want to go. I think examining the rest of the story and all the motives and all the wording and all of that, that's much more an intellectual exercise than it is a spiritual one. That is something that we want to do so we can be the ones who get it. But this story, at least for me, gives me hope that even Jesus, who was fully human, though perfectly obedient, didn't always automatically know the right answer right away. And we see this sense that God, that the divine is a changing force. We see it in the Old Testament, a number of places, where the perfect wisdom of God shifts gears or turns more toward the way of mercy. Abraham pled for Sodom, of Sodom and Gomorrah fame, and turned God away from destroying that city. In the book of Jonah, the people of Nineveh change their ways. And there, in some of the translations, there is even a place that says, God changed his mind about the fate of the people of Nineveh. This shift by Jesus in this one short story shows me that even all of us, with our inevitable failures, our inevitable flaws, we are still works in progress. We can claim the mercy of God no matter how harsh our first understanding of God might have been. Now, would I like to claim that I understand the story and all of God's ways? Yes, of course I would. But that would be much more, that would mean that I'm focused much more on the route than on the destination. And the destination is what's important here. The story tells us less about Jesus than it does about what we could be if we are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not about how we get there. It's about where we end up. Whether we act in loving mercy as Jesus ultimately did in this story. To my way of thinking, all we need to do is to remember the answer to one question. Where did Jesus end up? Ultimately, he ended up on a cross, showing a world-changing love so deep that he asked forgiveness for those who were killing him. He ended up, as he did in the story of this Canaanite woman, where the mercy of God wins out for all persons. And he gives us, as our collect of the day says, an example of godly life. This is what we are to do. We struggle sometimes in the journey and the way we get there. But where do we end up? With our human lives, especially the religious dimension of them, the key is not the mistakes we have made, the times we've changed our priorities and had to be almost forced to turn back to God. The key is, where do we end up? After all of our rationalization and debate and worry and arrogance and selfishness, where do we end up? If we return to God, we embrace the messianic gift of Jesus, and we return to God by trying over and over again to be loving and compassionate human beings, to be merciful to others as God is merciful to us. So no matter how flawed our lives may be, our journeys, we can end up in that place of mercy. We travel the heavens right there with God. When we act with love, with mercy, with compassion for all people, when we learn to forgive, we have the opportunity to touch the heavens. We have the chance to fly. even if we just learned yesterday.